There was a zoo that had an amazing collection of animals until one day its prized possession, a gorilla, passed away. Now, the zookeeper said to the staff, "We got to do something about this. Everybody comes to see all the animals we have. The gorilla is a very popular attraction. So I propose that we hire somebody to dress up as a gorilla." So that's exactly what they did. Now, it was the gorilla man's first day on the job, and he didn't know how to act like a gorilla very well, so as people were coming by, he tried to move convincingly, and when he did so, he got really close to the wall of the enclosure. He tripped and fell into the lion exhibit. He began screaming. He was convinced his life was over. That is until the lion spoke to him and said, "Be quiet, or you're going to get us both fired." I feel like this story sums up Twitter very well. Sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee, or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Welcome, Bold Americans, to another episode. We are at Thursday in the Twitter files, or at least Twitter just keeps on giving us information. If you listen to that opening story that I had for you, it's one based on hypocrisy, right? Being authentic in who we are. And this individual that spoke up on Twitter, on Elon Musk thread, I'm glad they spoke up. I was waiting and hoping to hear from them. That stated, the hypocrisy is coming out, and I'm going to expose it. I'm going to play some quotes from the past. So just to put this in context, the hypocrite is Jack Dorsey, the former owner, founder of Twitter. And so Elon Musk, when he said, "Tune in for episode 2 of the Twitter Files tomorrow," last Friday, he eventually on Saturday responded, "Looks like we'll need another day or so." And then yesterday on Wednesday in the morning, he finally responded. Jack Dorsey broke his silence and he stated, "If the goal is transparency to build trust, why not just release everything without a filter and let people judge for themselves, including all discussions around current and future actions? Make everything public now. Hashtag Twitter Files." Elon Musk responds and he says, "Most important data was hidden from you too," in quotes, or not in quotes, in parentheses, "and some may have been deleted, but everything we find will be released." Okay, so that was great, Elon, on your response. Jack, of course, doesn't respond after that. Jack, you were running this company when the whole thing went down. You had access to the Twitter files. We found out that you were left in the dark, and then when you were finally told of everything, it seems like you were disturbed by it. Why didn't you, in the issue of letting people figure it all out themselves, release all of this? Why didn't you make public all discussions around current and future actions? Why didn't you make everything public? You stayed on board for an entire year after this before finally stepping down and stepping away from Twitter. You had every opportunity, but instead you played the gorilla in the middle of the zoo. You were in the suits alongside a bunch of other animals in their suits playing the role until you got exposed, and you're getting exposed right now. This is a bad look for you. How do I know it's a bad look? Well, I can go back to an interview that you did with Steve Scalise. Now, Steve Scalise had questions at the Energy and Commerce hearing about the New York Post being blocked. And there's a lot of people that are getting details about this story almost as if it's revisionist history at this point in time. There are people that are supposedly very well respected, like Jordan Klepper on The Daily Show, who I just listened to a podcast where he got fact after fact after fact inaccurately described by not just him, but by his guest. This is lazy journalism, lazy reporting. Now, Jordan, I have attempted to find a direct contact for you. I've left a message on one of your YouTube videos, hoping maybe you would see it, but all I can find is your manager, your live booking agent, your on-camera agent. I don't have a way to get directly in touch with you. And so that's a problem. I'd love to be able to have this conversation and say, hey, I agree with some of your talking points and what you're speaking of right now, but can we get the facts right? If you are the person that is supposed to be looked to as this edgy comedian, writer, political commentator that's trusted, and you're going after the people that are spreading disinformation, misinformation, then at least get your story straight. Because now your audience is looking just as much like the lion sitting alongside the gorilla in the zoo. And I would like us to have better conversations in the future. But one of those details came out during the Steve Scalise interview with Jack Dorsey a few years back when this whole thing was breaking out. This was from March of 2020. And I'm going to play Jack Dorsey's response regarding the New York Post story being pulled. And we're going to try to break this down by quote and why it matters. And then Jordan, I'd like you to listen to this too, because on your show today or yesterday, you were talking about how the Twitter employees reversed their decision within 48 hours. What we hear from Jack Dorsey and Steve Scalise and what was factual and not revisionist history is the New York Post was continued to be blocked for 2 weeks. Now, this is a news organization that goes all the way back to the 19th century. This isn't like, you know, The Onion or some run-of-the-mill newspaper that doesn't have vetted staff. I understand that this newspaper is right-leaning. Okay, this is not about partisan politics. This is about news journalism and the First Amendment, freedom of the press, and then doing the right thing from Twitter. And who made that decision? Jack Dorsey, it sounds like, didn't know that all of this was happening if we look at the past and the history of his comments and that things got corrected. But this is in direct, I would just say, contradiction to what the Twitter files are showing. And so the great thing about the internet is it doesn't forget. The internet is forever, and we can find these things for those that search well enough. And so here we have it. Let's listen to the opening statement in response from Steve Scalise to Jack Dorsey.
First of all, do you recognize that there is this real concern that there's an anti-conservative bias on Twitter's behalf? And would you recognize that this has to stop if this is going to be Twitter is going to be viewed by both sides as a place where everybody's going to get a fair treatment?
We made a total mistake with the New York Post. We corrected that within 24 hours. It was not to do with the content. It was to do with a hacked materials policy. We had an incorrect interpretation. We don't write policy according to any particular political leaning. If we find any of it, we route it out.
So they write it out if they find any of it. Now, was Jack Dorsey living underneath a rock? Was he not aware that he had a government backdoor channel for his Twitter website? Was he not aware of the email that was created by his employees in order for politicians to make reports about the content they wanted removed, or the DNC was in direct communication? Was he not aware that his employees were leaning the way that they were leaning? This does not seem plausible. This seems like somebody who is lying to Steve Scalise. But let's continue on with Steve's response.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you recognizing that was a mistake. However, the New York Post's entire Twitter account was blocked for about 2 weeks. Was anyone held accountable in your censoring department for that mistake?
Well, we don't have a censoring department, but I agree.
Who made the decision then to block their account for 2 weeks?
This is a great question from Steve Scalise, especially in light of the Twitter files, especially in light of what Matt Taibbi has said, that the Biden team gets responses back that it's been handled, that the DNC was making requests, and that the Trump White House was making requests for certain materials that they wanted to have removed. But listen to what Jack Dorsey said as well. He said that we don't have any type of censorship department or team, that that doesn't exist. But yet it does exist, and we know now that it exists because we can see that they had the ability to throttle and de-amplify accounts, shadow ban accounts, and they did this through looking at what the content was, the keywords and everything else. So Jack Dorsey finally responds back, and here's what he says.
We didn't block their account for 2 weeks. We required them to delete the tweet, and then they could tweet it again. They didn't take that action, so we corrected it for them.
Now, they corrected the New York Post and deleted the article and then restored their account after 2 weeks because New York Post refused to do so. Now, the reason the New York Post refused to do so is because they verified the Hunter Biden laptop. They verified it, and this is a problem that I have with Jordan Klepper and what he spoke about today. It was a little bit of lazy journalism, and I'm not sure if it was because of his guest or Jordan not knowing some of the facts, which is why I'd love to speak with him about this. His guest was making the point that this was never verified, no one ever had eyes on it. There's actually, go to King Street in Wilmington, Delaware, to the courts and find the court documents that verify the laptop. Find the court documents that verify John Paul Mac Isaac, that it was the actual laptop, the possession of his, as well as that it was exactly the unaltered files as sworn underneath an affidavit when first provided and tried to get out there in 2019, long before it ever sees the light of day in 2020. These are documents that the New York Post used in order to verify their story, to make sure that this was a real thing. So Twitter is making this decision and then having them remove it, blocking their account from posting anything for 2 weeks. This is a problem that a company can do this. But what's even worse is we know the company is doing this at the behest of other political parties interfering and possibly other politicians interfering, which we're waiting for more info on. We continue.
It was literally just a process error. This was not against them in any particular way. We require, if we remove a violation, we require people to correct it. We change that based on they're not wanting to delete that tweet, which I completely agree with. I see it, but
I love this next part of the exchange. Steve Scalise is going to call out the hypocrisy of this conservative newspaper, the New York Post, being blocked for 2 weeks. Meanwhile, the Washington Post posts something with complete misinformation, factually inaccurate content, and Twitter continues to allow it. Now, this is left-leaning content. So here's Steve Scalise asking Jack Dorsey for comments.
Now let me go to the Washington Post article, because this article can still be tweeted. I don't know if it was ever taken down. It contains false information. Even the Washington Post acknowledges that it contains false information, yet their tweets today on your service that still mischaracterize it in a way where even the Washington Post admitted it's wrong, yet those mischaracterizations can still be retweeted. Will you address that and start taking those down to reflect what even the Washington Post themselves has admitted as is false information?
Our misleading information policies are focused on manipulated media, public health, and civic integrity. That's it.
So the Washington Post continues to be able to put out misinformation that states that this entire laptop is Russian disinformation, that it is not real, that this is some type of conspiracy hoax drawn up by Donald Trump and the election cycle. Meanwhile, Twitter knows that this thing's been verified on the Post, has reversed course, but is now allowing the liberal media and many people that I really love that are friends of mine to believe poor information. And so I'm wondering if this is the Jordan Kleppers of the world and his guest that are still believing that these stories by the Washington Post and so many others that distorted the legit information, I'm wondering if they're still following that narrative or if they understand what's being stated here. Now, the Twitter files made it very clear that there was internal turmoil within Twitter over the fact that there was censorship of the New York Post. They were trying to figure out, like, what do we do about all this? How are we going to answer these questions? And Jack Dorsey had to know that this entire thing was going on, right?
We don't have a general.
Well, I would hope that you would go and take that down. And look, I know you said in your opening statement, Mr. Dorsey, that Twitter is running a business, and you said, quote, a business wants to grow its customer, the customers it serves. Just recognize, if you become viewed, continue to become viewed as an anti-conservatively biased platform, there will be other people that step up to compete and ultimately take millions of people
away from
Twitter. I would hope you recognize that, and I would yield back the balance of my.
Well, maybe we finally do have somebody who is taking control, but I'm not quite sure of all this. I'm still not quite sure that Elon Musk and what I'm reading is accurate. You know, I'm not sure that this is all above board. My BS meter is still blinking a bit on whether or not this is an altruistic release. Even with Jim Baker yesterday, I did the entire episode with Chris Michaels on it. I just don't know. But one thing I can spot is a hypocrite when I hear it and see it. And Jack Dorsey is sounding more and more like a hypocrite. And if you read the Twitter files, like, oh, Jack Dorsey knew nothing about it. He was completely innocent. This was all behind his back. Again, Elon Musk today, or yesterday, most important data was hidden from you too. And some may have been deleted, but everything we find will be released. We assure you this, Jack. It's like, you know, don't worry. We're taking care of you, Jack. We're not going to let you look bad. I just don't see it. I don't see that a company this big with a CEO, he wouldn't know that it was completely left-leaning and they were doing things to censor conservative voice and wouldn't see how this was in direct contradiction to his own words. This is the gorilla on his first day discovering the lion and realizing, wow, maybe not everything's as it seems here at Twitter. Maybe he didn't know. Maybe he really did just take the job. Maybe I was born yesterday. We'll be right back after the break, everybody. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
As Americans, we seek to form a more perfect union. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And God willing, we shall not perish from the earth. AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Welcome back, Bold Americans. We're continuing the conversation about Jack Dorsey, the first half of the show. I was talking about Steve Scalise, and we listened to that audio where Jack seems to be completely ignorant to the fact that there was partisan politics going on at Twitter and censoring of information. So now I'm going to drop some truth bombs and play a little bit more connect the dots. You know, I love my connect the dots on this show. Are you aware that when Elon Musk purchased Twitter for $44 billion, that Jack Dorsey retained 2.4% ownership of Twitter? That's right. Jack Dorsey has no longer been CEO since 2021. It went from a publicly traded company to a private sale to Elon Musk, and he managed to keep 2.4% of his company. That doesn't sound like a conflict of interest for Elon Musk, does it? Maybe there needs to be some Musk files and some Dorsey files as well to make sure that everything is as they say it is. I mean this. I believe that there is corruption. I believe that the First Amendment was corrupted by a left-leaning employee base. I believe that both Republicans and Democrats used government backdoor tools in order to try to manipulate the platform, just as they do on Facebook and all the other social media companies. I believe that possibly Jim Baker was told, hey, we're doing this, clear out everything by Monday morning, and we're letting you go by Tuesday. We're going to move on from you, so get whatever you can and help clean this whole entire mess up. We need Jack to look good. Elon needs a quick PR campaign to bring people back to Twitter. And so there may be facts, there may be truth. At the same time, it may also be a little deceitful. It may be a tangled web. Maybe Elon's tweet the other day was talking about himself as well, that he is giving a interesting web of deceit to people. I'm not giving him a free pass. But what else is Jack Dorsey involved in right now? Well, in case you didn't know, Jack Dorsey sits with Nicholas Bergeron from the Bergeron Institute. He sits on their board. Now, this is interesting because Nicholas Bergeron, and I hope that I'm saying his name properly, is, unsurprisingly, a member, wait for it, yeah, that's right, the World Economic Forum. Why is it you can constantly take all of these billionaires, all of these people that really lean liberal, and you can always connect them back, the wealthy liberals, to the World Economic Forum? Why is it that all the people are tied? It's almost laughable that I could just simply type in a name, WEF, and immediately find some type of relationship. Now, that's not to say that the World Economic Forum is using Jack Dorsey specifically, but I would say that we know that the World Economic Forum is very powerful. It does have a lot of power in order to try to influence the world. In fact, it was Jack Dorsey that tried to convince people that there was no use discussing the World Economic Forum because it's useless. Those were his words. He said it's useless to try to discuss the World Economic Forum because it just was too powerful. They had too much political power and control, that they control trillions of dollars around the world at stake. So is Jack Dorsey really an agent of information? Was he trying to tell us this back in January of 2022, earlier this year? This gets pretty interesting, right? And then here he's asking for the Twitter files. Why didn't he do it when he was there? Did he really not know? The Christian side of me says, give him the benefit of the doubt. But the detective side, the investigative journalist side, says, ooh, I'm not so sure about this. So, what we need to know right now, I said this question when I was speaking with Chris Michaels yesterday. Who gave the order to Jim Baker to start vetting the Twitter files. How did he know that this needed to be done? That needs to be part of some type of congressional review. That may be the only way we get some type of information. And maybe I'm even naive to think of that as well. Then, Elon, I believe at this point, if there are Twitter files that are in some type of folder, I do believe it's probably best to get it out to more news organizations, because at this point, the more people that have their eyes on it, the better vetted it can be. So find some trusted sources, Elon. I doubt you listen to my show, but if you do, find some trusted sources, get the information out there. I'd be happy to look over things. I'd be more than happy to look over things, and I would give it a fair shake. Speaking of fair shake, let's move away from the Twitter files for just a few moments and discuss what has been going on with the rest of the world in politics. We'll start off with Herschel Walker. Now, Herschel Walker was asked to run by Donald Trump. Matter of fact, he stated that, well, family members stated that Donald Trump demanded that he ran, while everyone else was begging him not to. Look, if you were following this, or you've been listening to my show for some time, I told you that there were three elections that I thought were really cancerous elections. It was Herschel Walker's, because I felt the Republican Party put somebody that I feel bad for. I believe that Herschel Walker is a football player with CTE injuries. I'm just going to put that on the record. That's how I personally feel. I have no evidence to back up that claim other than the things that he has stated tell me that his brain certainly does not work like a functioning brain of somebody you'd want to put into the United States Senate. The other cancerous election I was looking at was Fetterman. Again, someone's brain that maybe was a fine brain to put into Senate just months earlier, even though I disagree with his policies. I would have no problem with somebody that has the able abilities to put together sentences, to argue for things on the Senate floor. Hopefully he continues to recover. I want the best for Fetterman. I don't want to be seen as somebody who's heartless here. But let's be real. He could have gotten out of the way and allowed one of the other great Democrat candidates in Pennsylvania to run, and they would have beat the Dr. Oz machine. That was a cancerous election. So the Republicans put up Herschel Walker, the Democrats put up Fetterman. And then we get to Arizona. And I took a lot of flack for telling people about the Katie Hobbs, and just that I felt that it wasn't going to turn out the way that Donald Trump hoped it would turn out. And I seem to be right. And to this day, there are still people that are saying, well, you know, Florida can count their votes so quick. Why couldn't Arizona? Why was this such a mess? Look, we're going to destroy this country if we don't figure out how to demand better elections. All right. We need to immediately have a conversation about how do we restore election confidence. And that requires bipartisan measures. That requires citizens that have concerns to be listened to in order to make sure they understand that their election is secure. I'm not an election denier. I just want to put that out there. All right. So when I see the stuff, I look for the solutions, and I believe that that is the solution to this. But I saw this coming from a mile away. These were the three elections that I was like, this is really going to be crazy. Now, I expected Dr. Oz to win because I thought that voters would reject putting somebody into office like Fetterman. I was wrong. I was completely wrong. All right. Continuing on with the stories and what's been going on. Trump has been finding himself a lot in the news. First and foremost, I keep saying I'm going to address this, and I haven't had an opportunity with the Twitter stuff. But Trump is being named in the Twitter files as the Trump White House was interfering with free speech and having voices censored. We cannot let this go. Okay, for those of you that are on the, but Hunter Biden's laptop, look, this is what they did. I've been telling you, it's not about the Hunter Biden laptop. That's not what the story's about. Sure, do I want justice for John Paul Mac Isaac? Do I want his name cleared in the hundreds of thousands of dollars that he lost in the courts when his name was smeared and slandered as a hacker or a Russian agent, and his life was destroyed as people from all around the country wrote fake reviews on websites to destroy his Mac shop that he had worked so hard to put in. Yeah, I want some justice for him. Absolutely. But as far as the laptop goes, I already know that it's real. I can just leave it at that. I already know that it's real, right? So if I already know that it's real, that it's the hard drive there came from the actual thing, that the documents are all what they are, to me, the Twitter files are about the Democrats and Republicans that have weaponized social media against your own self-interest, which does have some type of election interference. When you're removing stories in one direction and not removing them in the other direction, as we heard with the Washington Post versus the New York Times, that has election consequences. Just as when I called out Jordan Klepper earlier, if you're going to put poor information out there, that has consequences with what people believe. And I was reading the YouTube comments on his YouTube video and going, look at these people. They're believing every single word on this. And it's scary. It's very scary. Much like people believe every single word of Donald Trump at a rally. That's scary to me. I know that I probably could pander to a Donald Trump crowd, but I wouldn't be authentic if I did that. And you're not going to hear me on my show all of a sudden try to rally up at the MAGA base. That's not what my show is. That's not what I identify with. And I'm kind of glad that I've never identified there. And the reason I'm glad is because, well, Donald Trump, during all this time, looks like when he went into office, he owed about $20 million to Huawei, which is a South Korean company with ties to North Korea. Now, he did not disclose this as required by law, and you could make the argument, because I'm a balanced person, that $20 million to a billionaire is not a lot of money. And he also paid it off rather quickly. That stated, it was not disclosed. And that is something that should have been disclosed, certainly, because it says that you're in debt to a foreign government. And you're going to serve as the president of the United States, that should be out there. It doesn't matter if you're Donald Trump or Joe Biden, if you have money being funneled in through a family member or through yourself, we should have measures in place. The problem is there's loopholes in our country. There's loopholes that allow Joe Biden to set his son up in certain places. And if money comes back to Joe Biden, it's untraceable. There's nothing you can do about it. It's almost like money laundering, the way that this whole thing works. Same thing with Donald Trump. Now, on top of that, Donald Trump's companies have gotten into a lot of trouble. They were convicted. That's right. Now, this conviction, I want to make it very clear. You might hear people on the left that all of a sudden start saying, look at this, Donald Trump's organization. They were convicted for tax fraud and other crimes. This is going to end Donald Trump. Look what he did. It doesn't say anything other than a company owned by the Donald Trump organization had tax crimes, had fraud, and were convicted of and will likely pay $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, $4 million, somewhere around there in fines in order to make it well. And they'll easily pay for all of that. This was not a criminal conviction against Donald Trump, but I'm sure people will want to place that on him as they continue to move forward. Now, also, if you paid attention, New York Attorney General Letitia James had a civil case that she was trying to get put out there against Donald Trump. And I had pointed out on my show back then at that time as well, I wanted to make it very clear to listeners, this was a civil case. There was not any criminal crimes that were being prosecuted. Now, Letitia James finds herself with possible criminal charges against her because she is finding out that an ex-aide says that she mishandled a sexual harassment complaint. So Letitia James is having her own problems right now. If you don't know about this story, the Attorney General's office forced Governor Andrew Cuomo to resign in his disgraceful thing last year. Apparently, there was a very similar situation where one of her staff members, aides, brought an accusation against her chief of staff. And it looks like this thing was completely covered up and not handled properly by the attorney general. Well, this puts a huge problem in things, because can we trust Letitia James, or is it, as Donald Trump likes to say, another witch hunt against him? Well, here's what we know. We know now that Trump has his tax returns being looked over. We know now that he's been convicted as far as his organization goes. And guess what they just found in another storage unit? Well, yesterday in, I believe it was Bedminster, New Jersey, they found more confidential files being held in a storage unit. This is certainly going to go a little bit further. They got immediately handed over to the FBI. And this classified documents that were found, we don't know what they were. All we know is that Trump's team was the ones that hired an outside firm to search for files around his properties. And so this is not the government looking for the files. This is a search that a federal judge was saying, hey, make sure we have everything, and Trump obliged to it. So I'm also curious, how will the media spin this? Will it be the FBI found files, or will it be given clear that Trump realized, I'm in a crap load of trouble if I don't start doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and he hired people to go find classified information, and they were able to find more. And then the last story for today, Vladimir Zelensky is Time's Person of the Year. Everybody congratulate Vladimir Zelensky. He has joined the ranks of Adolf Hitler, 1938 cover of Time magazine. Don't forget, he's not the only one that was on Time magazine. Joseph Stalin, 1939, and he appeared again in 1942. So being on Time magazine Person of the Year is not always an honor. So don't get too carried away with yourself there, Zelensky. The New York Times, some people would be like, oh, you made the New York Times? You're on the cover? What an honor. Not me. All right, we covered a ton of ground. I got to finish the show for today, get to my day job, everybody. I hope that you are having a wonderful week. Tomorrow we'll come out with the final show of the week. I can't believe it went by so fast. I appreciate your time. Everybody, you've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.